Welcome to Bible Believers Fellowship and the ministry of BBFOhio.com as we conclude our study on the Bride of Christ. This is part of our series on the local church, and we clear up a number of misconceptions, including some who claim that the New Jerusalem is the Bride of Christ. We will simply look at exactly what the Bible says about the Bride of Christ. And this is part 2 of 2. But I want you to look at this. This is how people get messed up. A lot of times they'll make the city the bride when it comes to New Jerusalem. And we're going to look close at what it says in Revelation 21 and just the first two verses there. Revelation 21, and I'll read verse 1 and we'll stop for a second. It says, "And I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea." Folks, this is not your home.
Amen.
We're just a passing through.
Amen.
Last night we had a wonderful time with Brother Mark and Sister Darrell out here in Worthington at night. Perfect weather, nice breeze. We went over and had this little La Chatelaine. And then afterward we walked across the street and had Grater's ice cream.
Yeah.
And all is good. And we were looking at all the buildings. And Mark and Darrell were both a little kind of taken aback because they're from, both of them originally from Northeast. And everything kind of looked familiar to them. I thought, this has a real Northeastern feel to this town. So Mariah, the historian, who's giving us the tour, by the way, and we walk in, we're slurping and licking our ice cream and all that. And we walk over and she leads us to this big plaque. And you read on that plaque, it says that the people who founded Worthington were from, guess where? Connecticut. Northeast. They brought Northeast with them. And so when they came here, they felt right at home. Well, you see, you and I should be that way to the unsaved world out there. They should look at us and say, they look like they're from some other place. And I can't put my finger on it, but a lot of them have been in church and they've heard about this place. So a lot of times they'll see you and the way you live and the way you talk, and they ought to be thinking, they're from some other place. Kind of reminds me of what the Bible says about them Christians and that New Jerusalem. Amen.
Amen.
But you and I know, we ain't seen nothing yet.
Yes.
This is just a place we're passing through. This is not our home. And that's what we see in verse 2. Read that with me. "And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband." Now look close at what you just read. The New Jerusalem isn't the bride. The New Jerusalem is prepared as a bride. Now, I'm already married to her. But I know once in a while it's good to look over there and tell her again, you know, you look good enough to marry again. Amen.
Amen.
Men, if you didn't already know that, write it down. You need to say that to your wife once in a while. Amen. I've looked at my daughters and they get all dressed up and I say, hey, you look good enough to get married. No time soon. Amen. Now, they're not a bride. She's already been a bride, so she's not getting married again, but adorned as a bride. Amen.
Amen.
And that's the city, New Jerusalem. That's what it says right there. It doesn't say that this New Jerusalem coming down from God out of heaven as the bride. It says coming down prepared as a bride. Now, why is that? There's a good reason for that. But I want to look at one verse. Keep your finger here and go backward to Galatians in your Bible. In Galatians chapter 4 and verse 26. And look at verse 26 and what Paul says here. Read it out loud. "But Jerusalem which is above is free, which is the mother of us all." New Jerusalem can't be the bride. She is the mother. Look at what it says. New Jerusalem is the mother of us all. Now, you weren't given birth into the church by Jerusalem. That's not what it's saying. It's saying that That is our home. How many of you have heard of the motherland? The motherland is a reference to someone who's moved away. And they refer back to the motherland. Well, in that sense, New Jerusalem is our motherland. This is not our home. We're looking forward to the motherland. New Jerusalem. Amen. God, you ought to mark that down. I've had other people tell me they never read that or never noticed what it says there. That Jerusalem, the above Jerusalem, is the mother of us all. Now, back in Revelation 21, if you listened and kept your finger there, we're going to look at a few more verses. Verses 9 through 11. Says, and there came unto me one of the seven angels which had the seven vials, full of the seven last plagues, and talked with me, saying, come hither, I will show thee the bride, the Lamb's wife. And verse 10, and he carried me away in the Spirit to a great and high mountain, and showed me that great city, the holy Jerusalem, descending out of heaven from God. Look at verse 11. Having the glory of God, and her light was like unto a stone most precious, even like a jasper stone, and so forth. And it describes that city. That city came as a bride, adorned as a bride, because the city contains the bride. That is where we live. That is where Christians live. And so when New Jerusalem comes out of heaven, adorned as a bride, it's because that's where the bride is. Amen. Hope you're taking notes. Look at verse 17. Let's look down at verse 17. And said, and he measured the wall thereof 144 cubits according to the measure of man, that is of an angel. I'm not going to go through all these descriptions, but in verse 22 it says, and I saw no temple therein, for the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are the temple of it. Verse 23, read that with me. And the city had no need of the sun, neither of the moon to shine in it, for the glory of God did lighten it, and the Lamb is the light thereof. Verse 24, read that. And the nations of them which are saved shall walk in the light of it, and the kings of the earth do bring their glory and honor into it. And there's some debate as to whether this New Jerusalem is going to come down and land in where the land of Israel is now, or is it going to be like the moon? And do you know that the moon in Scripture is a type of the church? And the church is going to be in a city that, if I understand correctly, I believe will be like the moon. And around the new earth will be a new moon called New Jerusalem. And its light will be the light from the Lamb that's in the city. Just give that some thought. Folks, we're going to a place that is beyond imagination. God, let's turn over to John 14, just as a reminder. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, chapter 14. And this is all part of this promise. Jesus promised this. In John chapter 14, very well-known verse of Scripture. John chapter 14 begins in verse 1. Go ahead and read that with me if you're there. Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. Folks, when Jesus said that, He was prophesying. And His prophecy is fulfilled in the church right now being saved and called out of the world, and He is preparing a place for us, and that is the New Jerusalem we were just reading about.
Amen.
And someday soon, we are going to be called out, caught up to be with the Lord. He's going to take us back to our new home, New Jerusalem.
Amen.
And at some point, that New Jerusalem is going to come and be part of that new heaven and new earth. All that's in our future, folks. Will you meditate on that? It's an amazing thing. That's what marriage is about, folks. God has given us marriage as a picture of that. And a lot of times it's destroyed by human beings. But the ideal marriage is a picture of that. I want to read one more in closing. And go back to Song of Solomon in the Old Testament. Psalms, Proverbs, Ecclesiastes, Song of Solomon, chapter 2. And Song of Solomon is a prophetic book. Some of you may have read Song of Solomon and just thought it was a mushy love story. It's a prophetic book. And in Song of Solomon 2, we'll begin in verse 10. And this is a picture of the bridegroom calling away the bride. Beginning in verse 10. My beloved spake and said unto me, rise up, my love, my fair one, and come away. Amen. Folks, that's what we're looking for next.
Amen.
The next thing for us to see is Jesus, the bridegroom, calling His bride out of this world and saying, come up hither. Rise up. Come away. Let's read that. Beginning of verse 10, read verses 10 through 13 with me. My beloved spake and said unto me, rise up, my love, my fair one, and come away. For lo, the winter is past, the rain is over and gone, the flowers appear on the earth, the time of singing of birds is come, and the voice of the turtle is heard in our land. The fig tree putteth forth her green figs, and the vines with the tender grape give a good smell. Arise, my love, my fair one, come away. Verse 13 speaks of Israel, and when Israel blooms and turns, the fig tree is green again, like we see today in Israel. Everything is ripe and ready. It's that time when the bride will rise.
Amen.
We're that close, folks.
Thank you. glad you're saved. Amen. Four of you are. Amen. Amen. All right. Let's
be sure to visit our
before the mountains were brought forth, before the oceans had their shores, before the potter made its rain, God the Father knew my name from everlasting to everlasting. He is God. He is the same from everlasting to everlasting. Our God does not change. Before the heavens drop the rain, before the grass grew in the plain, before the birds flew, Jesus knew He come to die from everlasting to everlasting. He is God. He is the same from everlasting to everlasting. Our God does not change. For the first day and first night, before God said that there be night, before the starry heavenly host, Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, from everlasting to everlasting, He is God, He is the same.
That's why we read in 1 Corinthians 15, I want you to read that with me. Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also ye have received and wherein ye stand, by which also ye are saved, if ye keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless ye have believed in vain. And that just means unless you just flippantly said, oh yeah, I believe. There have been many people have a preacher come to their door, knock on the door, and say, oh, say the sinner's prayer, and oh, okay, well, I'll pray, blah, blah, blah. And they don't mean it. Listen, folks, you know your heart. I don't. You know your mind. I don't. And no one else does. But if you have not been serious with God and really believe the gospel, you're on your way to hell. You have purposely put a wall of separation between you and God. Because you've not taken this seriously. But if you will take it seriously and really search your heart and say, I believe this gospel. And what is the gospel? Read verses 3 and 4 with me. Here it is. For I delivered unto you, first of all, that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that He was buried, and that He rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. That's it. You seriously, before God, believe that He died for your sins and paid the full price. He rose from the dead and conquered sin and death, and by that alone you have eternal life. The Bible says you are saved. But if not, then not. That's how simple it is. You know, religion stinks. Because religion muddies the waters. Religion makes you think that church membership or having a title or something like that is going to help you in dealing with your sin. Let me tell you something. You sinned against God, not the religious people, not the institutions who are giving you all these false promises. You sinned against God, and what He says matters. And if you sinned against God, He is infinite. Your sin requires an infinite payment. That's why you can't work for it. You can work your entire life and do the best you can, and it's still finite. You can never do enough works to pay for the cost of sin. And Jesus dying on the cross was an infinite payment for your sin. And that's why He's your only hope.
During the fall season, while you enjoy the changing colors of the leaves and the cool, sunny autumn days, don't forget to spend time with the Creator, who has blessed us with the changes of the seasons. Read your King James Bible, and you can study along with us by visiting bbfohio.com and by listening to Bible Believers Fellowship each Saturday at noon and every Sunday at 9:30 p.m. on 91.5 Freedom FM.